You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Hello, on RN, Lynn Malcolm with you for a decidedly affirmative All in the Mind.
Positivity is the mindset that helps produce positive emotions. And positive emotions are a range of, you know, amusement, joy, happiness, to the quieter positive emotions of gratitude, serenity, inspiration. So positivity is the mindset that produces them and also the outcomes, the benefits that emerge from them.
Professor Barbara Fredrickson, social psychologist from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. She was in Australia for the 2015 Happiness and Its Causes Conference in Sydney. Her research on human emotions over 25 years suggests that increasing positive feelings and experiences can strongly influence our level of happiness and lead us to flourish, both psychologically and physically.
What seems to be unique about positive emotions is that they expand our awareness so that in the moment that we're experiencing positive emotions, and they're very fleeting states, they last from seconds to minutes, not hours, weeks, and years. But in those moments, our peripheral vision expands, our ability to take in more of our surroundings and connect the dots and see the big picture is facilitated, whereas neutral states tend to narrow our mindsets, and then negative emotions narrow our mindsets even further. So that having more moments of that open mindset help us connect with others and build our relationships. It helps us build our resilience. It helps us build our physical health because we become more energetic and moving about more. And so I think of positive emotions as nutrients in the same way that we need to eat a variety of fruits and vegetables to be healthy next season. We need a variety of positive emotions in our daily experience to help us become more resourceful versions of ourselves.
And biochemically, what's happening and what's the difference between a negative and a positive state?
Yeah, there's not a very simple one-to-one connection between brain states and negative and positive emotions. There's some work to show that the biochemical cascades in the body are different in that the social positive emotions come with an oxytocin, little surge in oxytocin that makes people feel more connected and attuned and facilitates connection and attunement. There's some left hemisphere specialization with positive emotions being a little more left activation in the frontal cortex.
I guess, though, that this might be one of those areas where we know some things about what's happening physiologically in the brain from brain scanning, etc., but it doesn't describe the full experience.
Exactly. So there's the subjective phenomenological sense, and you can see this in nonverbal behavior, the openness that goes with positive emotions in terms of the open mindset. We also see that in how people carry themselves with positive emotions. There's a more of an easiness in the torso. And I think that's consequential because other people can pick that up. And it's a safety signal for others that this person is safe to approach. So there's ways in which that openness both characterizes the mindset and the posture, and certainly the face too, because when someone's face is more relaxed and smiling, that grabs our attention very quickly, and it's, again, another safety signal.
So you study positivity from a scientific perspective. How is that possible? How do you do that? And perhaps if you could give me some examples of the research that you've done.
I've been studying emotions for 25 years, and this is an area that there was a time in the science of psychology where it was viewed as you couldn't study emotions because they're just too ephemeral or too fleeting. But there are a number of ways to do this. Part is through psychophysiology, measuring responses in the body, responses to heart rate and respiration changes. Another is through getting ever more precise measures of people's subjective experiences. We can do that by having people report on just how are you feeling right now, or turning a rating dial, you know, so that people can show changes in how they're feeling moment to moment. And a number of different ways that we study this in the laboratory. When we're interested in the in-the-moment effects. We can do laboratory studies where we, by random assignment, have some volunteers experience a positive emotions, others experience a neutral or a negative state, and then look to see how their choices and mindsets differ right in that moment. That's how we've discovered that positive emotions have a unique ability to open our mindsets. My research lab more recently studies what difference does it make to change your daily diet of positive emotions to have more positive emotions in each day. And so we randomly assign people to learn techniques to self-generate positive emotions more so on a daily basis. And we see what happens with that training and practice. And what we've found is that that changes the very fundamental rhythms of the heart so that we see more heart rate variability. And we're looking now at changes in gene expression in the immune system. And we're able to look at the extent to which increases in day-to-day levels of positive emotions predict physiological changes and psychological practical changes like resilience, social connection, and so on.
So over what period of time has that study taken place?
Yeah, we look at that over basically a season. So we teach people these techniques for self-generating more positive emotions, and these are ancient techniques. They come out of Buddhist practices, ancient meditation practices. And we teach that over 6 or 7 weeks, and then we track people. We measure how they are at baseline in very rigorous and thorough ways, and then we track their daily experiences by having people log on to a website and tell us the emotions of the day. And they do that every day for 3 months. And then they come back to our laboratory and we assess them again. We measure physiological properties of the heart. We take blood. We also have people do the same extensive surveys that they did at the beginning. So we're able to see how people change in the course of a season.
And so can you tell me a little bit more about what the exercises are?
Yeah. We have built a research program around testing the effects of loving kindness meditation, which is an ancient form of meditation practice, kind of a cousin practice to mindfulness practice. Whereas mindfulness asks you to bring your attention to your breath, and every time your mind wanders, to bring your attention back to the breath. Loving kindness meditation is equally a concentration practice, but instead of focusing on the breath, the thing you always return your attention to are a set of classic phrases that you can modify to stir your heart the most. But the phrases are wishes for well-being for yourself and for others. And so the drumbeat of the practice is phrases like, may you feel safe, may you feel happy, may you feel healthy, may you live with ease. And the practice is to direct those warm, heartfelt wishes to oneself, to people who are already in your inner circle, but then to expand that to people that you might feel sort of neutral about in regular everyday life, and try to warm up your sentiments towards people you may have no particular feeling for, and then to extend that to an ever-widening circle. I think of it as a practice to kind of warm up the heart and stretch our feelings of concern and goodwill to be more readily present.
I'm just intrigued about the mechanism. You're telling yourself to say those things, to
right.
think those things, but how does it actually change into real change?
Yeah, I think the biggest shift that comes with it is it helps people break out of their cocoons of self-absorption and allows people to become more genuinely and warmly other-focused, and that sort of more compassionate, more friendly approach to others is, it's just a different way of being in the world rather than so wrapped up in self-concern. So I think the first mechanism of change is by changing one's orientation to be more other-focused rather than self-focused. And that, I think, leads to a very different physiology, because an other-focused physiology is just different than a self-survival one. And so I think physiologically we have two modes of being, either in self-survival mode or in species survival mode. And that moving from self-absorption to other focus kind of puts us more in this species survival mode. There are signs in the research on the physiology that suggest that those are just two fundamentally different modes of being. They have their own biochemistry and their own psychology.
I know you've also done some research on positivity and the relationship between positivity and the way we relate to each other. Mm-hmm. Could you describe some of that research and what it's telling us?
Yeah, one thing that we found is that our ability to recognize individuals is facilitated with the temporary experience of positive emotions. In fact, there's a very well-entrenched finding in psychological science that goes by the label own race bias and face perception. And the finding is that people are very good at recognizing individuals of their same race and less good at recognizing individuals of a different race. And what we found is that when people are under the influence of positive emotions, that own race bias and face perception disappears altogether, and people are just as good at recognizing individuals across racial lines. So it's like the things that tend to divide us, like race and cultural differences, temporarily slip out of view, and people are much more likely to see the collective and we rather than me versus you.
There's also some work that you've done on looking at how to get people to work well together on tasks, mm-hmm. if they didn't know each other before.
Right. And positive emotions can be really supportive there too, in terms of helping people be more creative, feel safe to be able to bring their ideas out into the conversation as opposed to hold their good ideas to themselves. So there's aspects of the ratio of positivity to negativity that seem to be supportive of generative team meetings.
Barbara Fredrickson, emotions researcher from the University of North Carolina. Though her field is positive psychology, her research shows that it's not always the easiest thing for human beings to look on the bright side.
Well, there's really fundamental asymmetries between our negative emotion experiences and our positive emotional experiences. Negative emotions really hit us like a sledgehammer. They're really much more intense and attention-grabbing than our positive emotions, which are comparably more subtle. And there's good reason for that, in that our ancestors, if they failed to act on an instance of a threat, then, you know, maybe they didn't become our ancestors. And whereas if you failed to act on an opportunity, which is what positive emotions are often about, that's not going to be so dire. And so negative emotions, we have an ingrained negativity bias. But there's another asymmetry, that positive emotions are actually more frequent than negative emotion experiences. In most circumstances, there's more good events, even if they're subtle, than bad events. We feel like negative emotions are more prominent because we're often engaged in mental time travel, worrying about something that might happen or ruminating about something that happened some time ago. In the present, circumstances are mostly good. So those are two different asymmetries, an asymmetry in intensity that favors negative emotions and one in frequency that favors positive emotions.
In case you'd like to explore how positive your approach to life is right now, Barbara Fredrickson has developed an online tool to help you measure where you're at. It's called the Positivity Self-Test, and we'll put a link to that on the All in the Mind website.
It's just a simple 2-minute scale that allows you to, I like to say, just step on the scale and see how you register today. And taking the test just on one day is somewhat informative. It tells you about that day. But I think to get a better sense of what your typical emotional diet is or intake is, it'd be useful to take that same test every day for a few weeks and just see what the average ratio is, because every day is a little different. And that average over a few weeks can be useful and insightful. And in the courses I teach on positive psychology, I have my students do that test for a week or two, and then make some change in their life. take one of the different ideas from positive psychology, like try meditation or practicing expressing gratitude more frequently or reflecting on connections on a daily basis, and see if making a specific change in your habits changes the ratio in any noticeable way.
So to what extent is it about changing habits, just simply changing habits of thinking?
Our habits of thinking are very consequential for our emotional experiences. And so that's the first place to look if you feel that, you know, you'd like to have a better balance of positivity in your life. It's because emotions come from our interpretations of our circumstances. And a lot of those interpretations are just habitual ways of thinking. And so sometimes we can find that we're kind of pretty critical of ourselves or critical of others, and those are mental habits that are open to being shifted. I mean, it's not like we need to turn a blind eye to suffering, but we can address or approach suffering and difficulty in more compassionate ways, sometimes especially when it's our own suffering.
You're listening to All in the Mind on RN, Radio Australia, online, and perhaps on your ABC Radio mobile app. I'm Lynn Malcolm, speaking today with emotions researcher Professor Barbara Fredrickson from the University of North Carolina. Whilst her work suggests that increasing our positivity can lead to a greater sense of well-being, there's still an important role for our darker side. Negative emotions such as sadness or anger can, for example, be important motivators in our lives.
Exactly. There's no emotion that needs to forever be banished. What's most useful about negative emotions is that when they're really fitting the current circumstances, you know, if you're experiencing some injustice, anger is very useful for energizing our response to that injustice. If we're facing a loss, then sadness is fully appropriate. Negative emotions become less useful for us or less functional if they're less responsive to the current circumstances and they are more a reaction to something that we've experienced long ago or a worry about the future which may not actually happen. When they're really connected to the current circumstances, that's a good way to, you know, see their value.
And is it the case that some people are going to find it much harder to become more positive than others because of their temperament?
Yeah. There's some suggestion that, you know, individual differences in happiness levels or positivity, if you will, that maybe 50% of the individual differences may be heritable or genetic, and the other 50% are a combination of our circumstances and our daily habits. But within those ranges, we all have the possibility of becoming sort of a happier version of ourselves. We may not become the happiest person in the neighborhood or in the planet, but we can kind of be at the happiest part of our range through giving some attention to our daily habits.
So if you feel that your emotional balance is not what you'd like it to be, Barbara Fredrickson draws on some of her research to suggest how it can be shifted.
There's three ways to change it. You can reduce the negativity or increase the positivity or both. And so you may want to start with reducing negativity. And, you know, a lot of the approaches from cognitive behavioral therapy are really useful here, like questioning your negative thinking patterns and trying to, you know, test it against the facts. Now, if positive emotions are low, then there's a number of things that we've tested that are very useful. One is this loving kindness meditation. And I have a website to go with my second book, Love 2.0, which is positivityresonance.com. And that has some guided meditations that if people want to explore this loving kindness meditation. But there are also very simple techniques, you know, meditation's not for everyone. We found that simply reflecting on connection every evening is something that raises people's positive emotions. It also has an effect on the, you know, physical aspects of the heart. And that is to just think of your three longest social interactions and rate how attuned you felt with others, how close you felt. And that sort of daily reflection on connection can take just like a minute or two in the evening, and that tends to raise people's positivity and make a difference.
And you mentioned gratitude as well. Mm-hmm. And say if we take the example of receiving a present from your loved one, mm-hmm. is that just about being really thankful for that present?
Yeah, what we found with respect to more and less effective ways of expressing appreciation, the more effective ways, and what I mean by more effective is that it helps you become closer with the person and makes that relationship better over time, is when the thank you focuses more on the other person than on the object. So, you know, some thanks can be in a way very self-focused as, oh, thank you for this thing that did this great thing for me, you know, as opposed to, thank you for doing this, you're so thoughtful, or you always seem to know just exactly what, you know, will make a difference. So when our thanks come out like praise for the other person, as opposed to yippee for me, there's a difference there. And we've found through observing couples as they thank each other for different things in their daily experience that these certain forms of expressions of appreciation act as a booster shot for the relationship and bring people closer. And other forms that are a little more self-focused are just inert. It's not like they're doing damage to the relationship, but it's kind of like a missed opportunity to make the relationship more positive and healthier.
And it seems too that there's a lot in that reciprocal relationship. Positivity almost breeds positivity.
Yeah, there's a way in which that the expression of appreciation is in response to a kindness, and it's offering a kindness back. And this is what it does, is it helps create in friendships and in romantic relationships the sense of feeling seen and understood. That's the sentiment that is built when people express appreciation well, is they feel like, ah, this person really gets me. There are certain things that tend to universally help us to feel more positive. One is spending more time with people. Whether people are introverted or not, we found that everybody feels more uplifted and alive when they're social than when they're alone. The difference between introverts and extroverts is that introverts have a certain amount of social activity, and after that, it's perhaps too much. So we each need to know what's the right amount, but being with people seems to be a real source of positive emotions. And then what we found, too, is that people who prioritize positivity when they make their choices about how to arrange their day seem to benefit from more positive emotions and grow and become better versions of themselves over time through these broaden and build effects. This is something that can change as people learn about the scientifically shown benefits of positive emotions, help people take positive emotions more seriously, like, oh, this is part of my health and well-being, not just icing on the cake, like, oh, it's fine if I feel good, but I really need to just get my work done. So if we take positive emotions more seriously and schedule our days so that we know there's certain events, like if I see this friend or go for a run in nature or spend time on my favorite hobby, those things bring me joy. And if we prioritize those in our days, we do better.
There is still, I think, a skeptical view of positive psychology, that being positive can sometimes seem forced and insincere. How do you avoid that and know that the change you're creating is real and authentic?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most difficult things about positive psychology. In part, I think, as I like to say, a little knowledge of positive psychology is a dangerous thing, because people think that they can be happy just by deciding to be happy, and that it's just a simple maneuver, and it's not so simple. And there are ways to, you know, deceive yourself into thinking that you're happy or being obsessive about being happy. You know, there's some work to show that people who value happiness too much, it just backfires. It's a delicate art, learning how to facilitate the genuine positive emotions. And so that's why I think that some of the better approaches are more other-focused, like focusing on the well-being of others and being kind and compassionate to others is less less likely to lead us into that self-deception state, although I was just recalling the work of a colleague, Paul Gilbert, and that there's some individual differences in some people who are compassionate because they want to be well-liked. And that then is another way for it to backfire.
Yeah.
So there's ways to do this pursuit of happiness that are successful and lead to genuine positivity, and there's very easy ways to do it wrong. So it's trickier than it seems.
So what do you think is the most exciting area of research in the future in the positive psychology realm?
Yeah, what I'm really excited about is looking to see how people's daily diets of positive emotions are affecting the biochemistry and health. Like, we're now hoping to do studies where we can measure the effects on cellular aging. We look at this in terms of telomere length. And we're also continuing our work on changes in gene expression in the immune system. So as we get a better handle on what the biological benefits of positive emotions are, I feel like we'll be able to more generally take positive emotions very seriously. But it also, just knowing that positive emotions lead to these benefits, you know, it creates this mentality of, oh, I got to have that. And people looking for shortcuts to get there. And we can tell the difference between a genuine smile and a, you know, I'm trying to sell you something smile. Mm-hmm. And that difference between sincere and insincere is going to be really important to monitor.
And so what attracted you to this area? Were you positive to start with?
You know, not at all. No. I just became fascinated with emotions back when I was a doctoral student and joined a postdoctoral program that was very new in its day to be all focused on emotions. And as I was getting to know the early science of emotions, I noticed it was all about the negative emotions. It was all about fear, anger, disgust even. And very, very little was written about the positive emotions. So for me, it was just intellectual new frontier. It's like, well, these positive emotions must be good for something. And so that was the question that drew me in.
And since focusing on them, do you feel as though it's changed who you are?
Oh, most definitely. I feel like I'm a student of the work. And especially as I became a parent and a spouse, I felt like the knowledge of how to be a better parent and better spouse was all sitting on my desk in terms of the papers that I was reading and writing. This is why I was moved to write my books for a general audience, because I felt like it made such a difference for me personally, becoming better balanced and a better friend, a better family member.
Professor Barbara Fredrickson, positive emotions researcher from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And she's author of the books Positivity and more recently Love 2.0. More details about her work, her books and of course the online positivity test can be found on the All in the Mind website. Go to the RN homepage, abc.net.au/RN, and choose All in the Mind in the list. While you're there, why not share a few of the things that help you stay positive? Thanks to producer Diane Dean and sound engineer Stephen Tilley. I'm Lynn Malcolm. Great to have your company. Join me again next week at the same time. Bye for now.
Just when everything seems so dark, Amanda said we better accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. Oh no, no, their way is way too dark for you. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.